You know, we're in the second week of this, just cultivating a heart for God. I want to read something. I thought it was kind of cute. I heard the story about these three brothers, each bought a gift for their mother. One of the guys thought, you know what, I'm going to get mama a car, so he bought her a Mercedes-Benz. Wow. Another boy thought, I'm going to buy mama a new house. So he bought her a house with all kinds of bedrooms. And the third boy, he knew mama, he knew her well, and said, you know, mama can't really see as well as she used to. So, and she loves to read the Bible, so he bought her a parakeet that could actually quote the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelations. The mama called the three boys in, and she said, boys, I want to thank you so much for your gifts, but son, that nice car out there is just really more than I need, but I want to thank you for it. She told the other son, that house has got five bedrooms, and there's just me by myself here, but thank you. She said, but my third son, she said, you really got me a gift that's down to earth and practical. She said, that chicken sure was good. Oh, you know, as we're talking about this topic, and we're doing a 21-day Daniel fast, and if you ask me, a Daniel fast is pretty easy. How many's ever just did a, don't raise your hand, but you've done a long, just an extended fast, and, you know, you gave up food and whatever else for extended time, and you prayed, and it's hard, but you know, it kind of reminds you about Christ. So in this 21-day Daniel fast, you know, as you give up something, maybe you haven't started it yet, but you want to dive into this. There's nothing that gets you closer to God than spending a little one-on-one time and beginning to do a little fast. You read throughout the Word of God when men fast, and amazing things begin to happen. And so here's the text that we're using each and every week for this series. And it just says this, it's going to be up on the screen, Ezekiel 36:26. Says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. You know, I know when I was younger, I would read something like that, and I'm reading that scripture, and I'm thinking of somebody else. I know they need that. They need a tender heart. The whole time God is trying to work on us, he's always trying to move in our lives. How many believes that? He's always trying to do a process in us, but he's always a perfect gentleman. He never forces himself on you. Amen? He's a perfect gentleman. He never forces, but he might put a few things in the middle of your road just once in a while, right? So my prayer is God, just give me that spirit that is always positive. Then I'm always seeing the good about things. How many knows that's tough and that's difficult, but it's not impossible? So we're going to be talking about a few things this morning as we look at these three things that helped David so much in getting this incredible heart for God. Number one, he learned to wait. How many likes to wait? When you were young and Christmas was about 3 weeks away, and let's say you're about age of 10 or under, how long did that seem? Forever. It just seemed like, man, it's never going to get here. So King David, as we look at this incredible man of God, he's anointed king. But after he's anointed king, it's like 13 to 15 years later until he steps into that position. Now, I'm telling you that waiting can train you and can teach you. It's not fun, but it does some amazing things. So what is it about waiting that produces character? You know, I was asking myself, how many times have I missed God because I've gotten in a hurry? How many gets in a hurry about stuff? Raise your hand real high. I'm kind of wired that way. I don't like that about me, but I know me well, and I know I'm wired that way. I have to stop myself. I can be talking to somebody, and it's just the way my mind works, and my mind can go in another gear. I can be talking to my wife, and she gets so mad at me about this. We can be talking, and right in the middle of a sentence, my mind's already doing something different. And I know that about me, so I try really, really hard to connect because that is really important. How many knows that in God's kingdom, people are important? People are more important than buildings. People are more important than money. People people are more important than everything but God, right? Very important. I want to tell you a story. I had this gentleman that worked with me years ago. His name was Tim. And so we're talking about this incredible thing that David learned, this waiting thing. And Tim, I witnessed him all the time about the Lord at work. I was working for Mobil Oil at the time, and so I witnessed almost everybody on the... I made sure I talked to Jesus about everybody that I worked with at least once. And then there's other times that, okay, I've already talked to him, so I'm just going to kind of let Jesus kind of speak. You know what I mean? So anyway, so Tim was working with me, and we was breaking in on some wells out in the oil fields. And so I told Tim, I said, we're going to do this. The first part of the morning, you get to listen on the radio to anything that you want to listen to. But after lunch, I get to listen to what I want to listen to. Now, since I was breaking Tim in, so in the morning, we always did a lot of things that was outside of the truck, fixing pumps, changing chemical lines, doing that kind of stuff. But the last part of the afternoon, we're actually driving, checking all the wells. So we're in the truck together for the last part of the day. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but several years, and it's probably 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, there's a guy by the name of Bob Larson on the radio. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Bob Larson. A lot of you have. Bob was just in your face, you know, the gospel, and he was hard. But it was cool. So Tim would get with me in the truck. So every time we get in the truck at 1 o'clock, Bob Larson would come on from 1 to 3 every day. We're in the vehicle one of these days, and Bob Larson has a caller that calls up and says this. He said, I have an evil spirit in me. And the conversation just started going and going and going. This kid was possessed by an evil spirit. And over the radio, Bob is casting this demon out over the radio. I'm telling you, this is the most hilarious thing. Tim sitting there in the passenger seat. We're listening to this for 2 hours. That conversation went on for probably just one solid hour. Tim's like, finally, when it kind of goes to a short commercial, Tim says, do you think that's real? I said, it kind of sounds real to me. What do you think? Tim says, yeah. We stopped and got out of the truck for one thing. Tim didn't get out of the truck. He was sitting there. He was mesmerized by what was going on the radio. Now, I'd like to tell you that Tim gave his life to the Lord. He didn't. But let me tell you what happened. We went to Arkansas, was there for 11 years, and we came back. And I wasn't here probably just a few months, and I hadn't talked to Tim in years, 11 years. And I get an email from Tim, and it's got a picture of him being baptized. And then he's got this big old long thing, and I got it pinned up on my wall, so I never forget it. And it said this. He said, you know, all those times that you thought nobody was listening, week after week, day after day, month after month, being the same all the time, he said, you know what? Everybody was listening. He said, all of us guys heard everything that you said. Now, I just want to remind us, there's a lot of times we think nobody's listening. And you be faithful, and you watch what God will do in the midst of all of that. Tim gave his life to Christ. He started telling me about his family, what things was going on in his life. I thought, that is cool. I saw a picture the other day. Some of his boys were getting older, and all in church. Amen? Just because of learning to wait and be patient with the things that God asks us to be patient with. So what do you do while you wait? How many hates waiting? Put your hand up really high if you hate waiting. If you, I know about me, if I'm thinking about something to eat and you can smell it, anybody's ever done that before? And it's like, or you're thinking about a root beer float. We're fasting. I shouldn't be talking about that. Hey, so you're thinking about that, right? You can almost, how many can taste it? I can taste it. I can really see, man, I can really catch that. So what happens is when you're doing that, all that stuff starts crossing your mind, right? See, here's the thing, though. You, number one, we're going to remain faithful. Treat each day like today is the day the miracle is going to happen. So what is it about waiting? Let me put it this way. Years ago, God spoke something into my heart. And I thought it was going to be for the next year. And it wasn't. It was years down the road, because God might give you something like King David. He waited 13 to 15 years before he became king. So God gets something, puts it in your heart. That doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. But also, you can't give up on your dreams. You just got to keep hanging out with God and waiting on God, because he will show up. That's the kind of God that he is. He's the God that likes to always show up. Warren Buffett says this: it takes 20 years to build a reputation. How many knows that's a long time? 5 minutes to destroy it. I want to say that again. 20 years to build a reputation. 5 minutes to destroy it. I was thinking about some guys that spent a lot of time. How many's ever heard of Charles Dickens? I remember as a young boy, we went and seen Fiddler on the Roof. And I remember that was one of the neatest movies I'd ever seen at that time. It just came out. I'm starting to tell my age. It just came out. And I thought it was a really cool movie. But you know what I found out later on in life? The reason Charles Dickens can write so many incredible stories is because of all the hardships he went through. When he was just a little boy, his dad was arrested and thrown in prison because he couldn't pay his bills. Some of the other family members got put in prison. And then after that got settled and they got the bills paid off, he came back out. And then Charles Dickens had to quit school and go to work in a rat-infested assembly line in order to make ends meet. And it wasn't until later on in life, through all the hard times, that he was able to write these incredible stories. Because why? Because he experienced them all. He waited on God, and God did some amazing things. How about Abraham Lincoln? We all know him, our 16th president of the United States. Champion of equal rights. You know, if you know the story, he tried out for all kinds of stuff and failed and tried out again and failed and tried to go for the House and failed that. And it was when he's 54 years old, by perseverance, by continuing to wait, that he finally became the president. He became an incredible president of the United States. Listen to this, Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So David learned that waiting thing. The next thing he learned to obey. Have you heard that saying that says it's better to obey than to sacrifice? You ever wonder where that comes from? Probably some of you know. But what the story we talked about last week about King Saul, that's actually where it came at. Because what happened is he disobeyed God, spared the best of the animals, even King Agag. And this is what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than, and submission is better than the offering, the fat of the rams. David, again, he learned obedience. I want to share just a couple of quick stories that I think are pretty amazing about David. Saul was after him, trying to kill him. And one day, Saul's army's after David's army, and he decided that, you know, he had to go use the restroom. So he goes into a cave. You got to understand, in Arkansas, there are caves everywhere. Or Arkansas. Israel, there are caves everywhere. But there's also caves in Arkansas. How many knows there's diamond mines in Arkansas? Anyway, so he goes in this cave. He picks out a cave, and he goes in this cave, and he goes to the back of the cave, uses the restroom. What he didn't realize is a little bit further back, David and all of his men were in that cave. David's men are whispering to him, "David, here's your chance. Go ahead and kill Saul. You know he's been after you. Go ahead and kill him." Let's put that next scripture up. It says this: "Now's your opportunity." David's men whispered to him, "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off the piece of the hem of Saul's robe. You know what happened then? David started feeling really bad about cutting off Saul's robe. And he goes outside, and he shows him his robe. He says, "Today God handed you to my hands." But he said this, he said, "But I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed." A test of obedience. And then another chance comes in 1 Samuel 26. Same thing happens as Saul's after David again. And David says, "Who's going to go with me? Let's go into Saul's camp, and let's see what's going on." You know, that takes a warrior of a man to go into the other camp in the dead of night, just two guys against 3,000. He goes in the tent, and they've got this circle built with all the warriors around, and King Saul's in the middle. David comes up, takes the spear, takes the water jug, walks away, and again, he yells at Saul, says, "Saul, why do you keep trying to kill me? I've done nothing to you." And again, he says, "I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed." It's going to be on the screen. Now David said, "Don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one?" David was obedient, even when it seemed like God had placed him in his hands. Years ago, we were ministering back in Mena, Arkansas, and we've been doing youth ministry, I don't know, for a long, long time, and years. We spent 10 years here and 7 years back there doing youth ministry, and God was kind of changing our hearts to, I started seeing that part of my dreams were not going to be accomplished doing youth work. And so we were already thinking about this process, and Brother Billy at that time resigned the church, and so the church is going to try out new pastors. So what happened, our job was, every time one of the new pastors came, we would take them to lunch, we'd talk to them all afternoon, we'd set them up so they could have a great tryout, and we just honored them in everything that they did. Not once did we tell them, "Hey, you know, after you get voted in, we probably won't be here because we feel a different call." I could have got all upset, acted like a three-year-old, said, "No, you can't do that because this should be my place." We didn't do that. We just honored God and blessed him. And after three or four different guys, that someone said, "Hey, what about the kids?" They used to call us kids. "If you want to call me a kid today, it's okay." You get to that age where you're calling a kid, you can, "Oh, don't call me a kid." But you get a little older, it's like, "Hey, call me a kid." So we tried out and we got the church. But you know what we did? We were obedient to what God had asked us to be obedient with. We were obedient to our board. Folks, listen. We have a great board in our church. I enjoy having a board. It's a person that's, I don't think you have much sense when you don't want to listen to other people and take wise counsel. Amen? I think a board has been placed here by God. The Bible actually tells us there's counsel in the multitude, there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. I think that's very important that we catch that and understand that whole process within that. God does amazing things. See, and the last thing is David learned to trust. I want to talk just a couple minutes about this trust thing. Sometimes we have to trust when everything seems like it's not going to happen just right. Years ago, we decided that the youth group needed a big projector screen. We wanted this big projector screen, but we didn't have any money. We got it on a loan for $23 a month, and we couldn't spare, Josh, we couldn't spare $23. It was tight. It was so tight, it was scary. So we thought we'd buy this projector screen, and we had that projector about 8 months, and the projector broke down. I was smart enough that when we picked up the projector, that we got this contract with them that said if anything happens to the projector, we could send it in, and they'll send another projector to us, and we can use that projector until ours gets fixed, and they'll send it back to us. And I said, that's a great deal, because if you start doing that stuff, you need it. Now, that was a 400 lumens projector. This projector here is a 3,500 lumens projector. We had a 400 lumens projector. It was about the best thing we could buy for the money about 25 years ago. And so we wanted this thing. We were going to use it all the time. Our students were doing videos. We were doing all kinds of really cool media with that. But after that thing broke down and I sent it in, they sent me back this projector that looked like it came across on the Ark. It looked like it had been in wars. It was a disaster. We had bought this brand new one. It was our hard-earned money. Every dime we had was going into that thing. And it took me about 4 months to convince Cheryl that we needed it. Listen, if you're going to spend some money and it's going to be a little bit extra money, you need to check with your spouse. That got real quiet. So we got this projector, turned it in, and so after about 2 weeks with this other projector I had, I thought I need to call and check on this new one we bought. And I called and they said, "No, that's not the deal. The deal is you get a projector and we trade it in, and so you keep that projector you have now." I said, "No, that's not what my contract is." "Oh, yes, that's what that's what everybody's contract is." So I had to go back through, and I finally found the box, and I found the contract in there. And so I emailed it to her. And about 2 weeks later, she says, wow. I said, so what? And I started to get upset. How many gets upset at things like that? You buy one thing and you get something else, and it seems like the switch and bait. And I was kind of frustrated, and I thought, no, you know what? I'm just going to trust God in the middle of this. So we're still trusting God because God is great, and God can do amazing things. And I'm talking to this lady on the phone, and I'm getting a little frustrated. Then she tells me this. She says, I said, when are we going to get our projector back? She says, you're not. She said, we gave it to somebody else. On the count of 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Oh. And we were like, what are we going to do? Our projector was just given away. And I thought, okay, keep your mouth shut. God's bigger than this projector. And so she starts saying, she says, well, I don't know what to do. So she goes and talks to somebody else. And she gets back on the phone for a little bit. And she goes to talk to somebody else. And it's kind of like a used car salesman. So finally she comes back and she says, well, that projector, they're no longer even making that projector. But I tell you what we can do. She says, we have this other projector. She said, it's an 800 lumens projector. Mine was a 4. This is twice as bright. And I'm like, well, yeah, that might work. I was so excited because, man, you got to understand, this projector was, we did a rear projection screen up in our youth room, and it had to be completely pitch black to see it. And then it was still hard to see. But this 800 lumens projector, you could actually see it if someone left the bathroom light on. But it was hilarious because we waited on God, and God provided. We've watched over and over again through computers, through other things, that we just wait and trust God, whether it's stuff or whether it's people. God has always came through. Amen? Just like David, we got to learn to trust. Now let me share this. This is where we're going to end because I think this is really, really important. This trust thing is really about changing your mindset. What happens when something doesn't go right? What does our mind, does it go positive or does it go negative? When something goes wrong, does our mind go positive or does it go negative? Do we see the glass half full? Do we see the glass half empty? You know, I always try, no matter what's going on. I'm not perfect. How many's perfect? Raise your hand if you're perfect real fast. None of us. Jesus is, yes. But you know what? I started learning that if I can stay positive, I can pray and seek and turn it over to Christ, it's going to help my mindset because a lot of things happen when you start to remain faithful. Check this out. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. What happens when someone gets in a wreck and they just wreck their brand new car? Cry. Yell, scream. I got to tell you something hilarious. One morning, early in the morning, I was driving down the road, and I was in our van, and there was a little bitty car right next to us, and I didn't see them, and I turned sideways and ran into their car, bashed them. And so I pull over, and I'm looking for my information, and this guy comes up to my car. He is madder than a hornet. He is, and he's a big guy. He's a big guy. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man. He gets out, and he's yelling, and he's cussing, and he gets a little closer to the car, and he figured out he knew me. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. But you know what I've learned? Because we've had accidents over the years in vehicles. Everybody has. It's just a vehicle. Amen? It's just a vehicle. The biggest thing is you want to make sure no one gets hurt. We can get so frustrated with that, but check that out. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. The world is going to get upset over nothing. But he says, but let what? Let God do what? See, you have to let God. Let God transform. You're not going to be transformed just because I'm sitting here. I'm going to be. You got to let God transform you. And a lot of times that's going to be found in the waiting. We don't like that. But let God transform you into a what? A new person by changing the way you what? Think. God can help us think differently. And I'm telling you, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You begin to pray and you say, God, today I'm just praying, God, that you'll teach me patience. What happens when you pray for patience? I hear people say all the time, I'm not going to pray for patience. I've learned this. It doesn't matter whether you pray for patience, you don't pray for patience. Stuff is going to happen that's going to give you patience anyway. Just is. I mean, that's how it works. He says, but changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Check this out. God's will for you is what? It's good. It's pleasing, and it's perfect. It's what? It's good, pleasing, and perfect. When you start following God and you wonder, man, does God have anything good for me? Yes, he does. God wants to bless you. Sometimes we got to take the scales off our eyes so we can see it. Amen? Because his will for us is good, pleasing. Go to the next one if you don't mind, Zach. Philippians 4:8. I love this one. And now, dear brothers, sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. How do you fix your thoughts? How do you fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right, pure, lovely and admirable? I could get so mad at that projector and take it out on that lady. All she's doing is she's just reading the script. She didn't know anything else. That's all she's doing. But so I'm going to fix my thoughts and not the problem that's going on. I'm going to fix my thoughts on Christ. When the doctor gives me some bad news about my health, I'm not going to continue to worry about that. I'm going to fix my thoughts on Christ. And he said, I love this last part. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. King David, he understood. King David was a guy that loved to do music. And he would sing for hours. You know, Ray, we was talking about the other day and kind of talking about how we can just worship as we play. David was one of these guys that even when he was performing in front of everybody else, he was performing for the audience of one. In other words, it was a worship to God. When you just break loose and sing it. Now, folks, listen. To be up here, you need to sing a little bit. You need to have be able to sing. But back here, let her fly. Let her rip, tater chip. I've heard some of you. Some of you guys can really sing. And others, praise you for that. We had a guy in our choir once. Our choir, we went all the way back to Joplin, Missouri, but we stopped in Oklahoma, and we're going to sing, and this little church was singing that had all these microphones hanging down. And if you're in a choir, you always sit in a certain place, right? Everybody's in the same place. Well, this one guy, we loved to have him in our choir. Man, when he sang, buildings collapsed. Mothers ran babies off the streets. You would plug your ears. It was loud and proud and really bad. And he's right in front of a microphone, and he's just letting her rip as loud as he could. And I remember in practice, Tammy Donahue, she's back there talking to the sound guy, can we shut that microphone off? And he says, no, we can't. She's trying to figure out, how am I going to change this? One really loud, sour note can make everything sour. she came up to, I almost said his name, I don't want to. She came up to him and she said, you know what? Hey, we're going to put you over here today because you look better over here today. And he's like, yeah, okay, cool. What she did, she just averted a disaster. But you know, when you're out there, sing with all your might, your heart, and your soul, because you know what? God loves joyful noise. Amen. One last one, and we're going to end on this one. Musicians, come back up here. Next scripture. I like this one. I talk about this a lot in funerals. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Now notice what that last part says. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Do you ever wonder why at times when everything's going haywire that you're not in peace? Because that's the process. You got to keep your thoughts fixed. Because here's the thing, the enemy's going to hit 24/7, all the time. He's always going to tell you what you can't do, how bad you messed up. He's always going to throw that in your face. And if you don't have your mind fixed on Christ, all those other thoughts are going to be a lot louder than the thoughts that you have. So we got to keep our minds fixed on Jesus. When I first gave my life to Christ, we'd come down to church every morning. Some seasons at 4, other seasons we'd get here about 5, depending on what time I had to go to work. We'd spend about an hour before I went to church every day. I just gave my life to Christ. I was working with a bunch of guys that was sticking, you know, magazines in my face and trying to blow marijuana in my face and just a lot of things. So every day when I would come to church, I would find a place and I would start writing out scriptures. I had these little cards and I would put these scriptures on these cards. So every morning I'm reading those cards. I'd mark my Bible all out and I'm reading it and I'm reading down in Isaiah. The word says he's going to lift up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord is going to lift up a standard against him. And I started just praying and seeking God. And God starts putting that standard up because I'm getting ready to go out into to where the enemy's at. But folks, listen, God has not called you to work in a place with only Christians. He's called us to be the light of the world so we can go into a dark place and let our light shine. My light doesn't shine very good in the daylight. My light shines pretty good at night. The darker the area, the greater the light. Let's go ahead and sing a little bit of that, guys. Maybe this morning, just some things are going on, or you're stuck in that waiting. You're just waiting and you're waiting. Know this, that God sees everything that's going on. He gets it. He understands. But I'm telling you, if you'll wait, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Just continue waiting. Continue trusting. And waiting doesn't mean just don't do nothing. Waiting means I'm in my word. I'm in prayer. I'm hanging out. But God, I'm waiting. Waiting means I'm ready to go to work. But right now, I'm waiting. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe this morning, maybe that's you. You're just kind of stuck. And I've been there so many times before. If that's you, I want to pray for you that you get out of your stuckedness. Maybe this morning you say, man, I just need Christ. I need to put him in the right place. Just raise your hands. We're going to pray. Church, let's pray together. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. As we wait and trust and spend time with you, God, we just know that you've got something amazing coming our way. So, God, we're going to stand. We're going to renew our minds. God, we're going to hang out with you and watch you do amazing things. So bless and move, Lord God, as only you can. For those this morning that said, man, I need to get my heart and my life right back with you, we just say this. So pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help change me and mold me into who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to remind you on the back there, if you're going to go to the banquet over in Bakersfield, we're going to have a whole lot of fun. It's $15. You can go back in the back and sign up. I think we're also going to have a bus go out that day, too. Bless you guys. Love you. Bye.